Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with top political reporters Seth Richardson and Ben Botkin. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Susan Fisher, Trey Abney, and Victor Jakes. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yeson405.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great show for you today. Some of the top journalists in the state, along with Ray Hager, we have Seth Richardson, political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal, and Ben Botkin, political reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Pleasure to have you both here. And thank you for being up so early on this Tuesday morning. Some crazy stuff going on at the legislature. Lyft and Uber, just not happy at all with Richard Carrillo.
Yeah, I mean, they've faced two bills so far that have been kind of, you know, pretty naked attacks on them, at least from the industry perspective. You know, you look at the 15-minute wait time, that would have effectively ended Uber in the state. Now they're looking at having to carry, you know, five times the amount of insurance as taxi cab companies. And, you know, the entire time they've expressed an openness to being treated, you know, the same as taxi companies for the most part, even though they sort of shun that notion that they are a cab company. They say, no, we just have drivers who are riding around and willing to, you know, share a ride. But for all intents and purposes, they're a cab company. And it's pretty obvious when, you know, these sorts of things come up that some lawmakers are trying to treat them differently.
And what's been the response in the legislature?
Quiet. it was introduced late Friday night. I don't think too many people really saw it until kind of the weekend went through. At least I didn't. And, you know, no one seems to really want to discuss it.
Well, it's been interesting, Ben. The last report from the McCarran Airport was that they're making more money off of Lyft and Uber than they are from the taxicab industry.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that really a lot of people anticipated. And certainly the taxi cab industry has fought hard against Uber and Lyft as it's rolled out. So really, it's just certainly another example of just technology overtaking an industry and leading to seismic changes in how those 40 million visitors that come to the Vegas airport every year make their way around the strip.
You know, I just think that this is really an embarrassment for the Democrats and an embarrassment to our system of legislative government, where they go to bat at the end for their one of their biggest donors, which is the taxi cab industry. I mean, this is so blatant that I'm surprised they didn't try to disguise it a little bit more than this. It's not a good look for the Nevada legislature.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree there as far as the sort of optics of it. That's for sure. I mean, especially when earlier in the session, you already had a bill that came out that said you have to wait 15 minutes for a car. That completely undermines the business model of Uber and Lyft. That's not how Uber and Lyft work. The reason people use Uber and Lyft and other ride-hailing apps, for that matter, is because, you know, a lot of the times when you call a car, it takes a long time to get there, and you can't necessarily hail one just like it's nothing. So, you know, that seemed like a pretty, you know, naked attempt, and then they killed it really quickly. Really didn't want to discuss it when it happened either. And then to try to bring this up in sort of a last minute amendment, I mean, it's, I don't know if I want to say it's obvious, but it definitely doesn't look good.
Well, it's obvious to me.
to say the least. And it's interesting the amount of money contributed by the taxi cab industry versus the lack of money that was been really contributed by Lyft and Uber. And so, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting week on this. Also wanted to bring up the story that Anjanette Damon broke from Reno Gazette Journal about Mayor Sheehy doing an end run to change the office of mayor in Reno. Of course, when Jessica Sferrazza, her close friend, was trying to run for mayor, she had to deal with a ruling from the Supreme Court that said that essentially it was the same job as a city council person as a mayor. This seems like it's just a scheme to allow Jessica Sferrazza or any others who have been term limited to get another 12 years in their jobs on the city councils or, I guess, county commissions, really, to an extent.
I don't think I can really say, you know, whether it's a bill designed specifically to get Jessica Sferrazza as the mayor. That's not my place to say. That said, it is odd that an amendment like this would be brought up on a floor amendment. I mean, this was a pretty non-controversial bill going through. All it did was basically make the city council comport with some court rulings that, you know, they needed to have ward-only voting. And then to kind of add this at the last minute and really give the mayor a lot more power. You know, she wouldn't be a voting member. I guess I shouldn't say she, because it wouldn't take effect until 2024. But the mayor wouldn't have, you know, they wouldn't have voting power. But they would have veto power, and that might not seem like a lot, but it takes 5/6 of the council to override that. I mean, anyone who's involved in politics knows getting a 5/6 majority, I mean, even on a panel, you know, a board of six people, that's quite a bit. And again, it's kind of one of those, you know, sneaky endgame kind of things where, hey, it's a last-minute amendment, and here we go, we're going with this. If I'm playing the prognosticator, I'm guessing that the assembly probably doesn't concur with that version. It's probably worth noting that Dick Segerbloom, the guy who introduced it, very good friends with Sheehy. I wouldn't expect the assembly to concur with that. And honestly, I don't know if Governor Sandoval would sign something like that, giving that much power to the mayor, you know, doing an end run around the people.
I would love to hear a comment from Mayor Andy Hafen, former Mayor Andy Hafen, who was also bounced out on this.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You should bring him on your next show.
I'm heading to Vegas in a couple of weeks, so that would be a great idea.
You know, real quick, you guys, what about the ESA? They had a big hearing last night. Ben, you went to it. There were some compromises suggested.
Yeah, you know, the general sense I got is that we're really not sure if this compromise is going to make this a done deal or not. It's still really in flux in terms of the governor's people said they're willing to look at that. However, there's really no clear sense of whether this will really be what seals the deal. Assemblyman Justin Watkins was the Democrat who really introduce this compromise that would include things like a sliding scale for people in the ESA program based on their income. So there's really a lot of high-level discussions on this one.
Seth, what do you say?
Yeah, you know, and I was kind of initially led to believe that, hey, maybe this is a step toward compromise. You know, they've been in discussions for weeks, but the more I talk to people, the farther away everybody seems like they are. You know, especially considering that they only want to fund it at half the level. I do think Republicans would be open to that sort of funding model, you know, funding it through kind of private donations in the form of a tax credit. I don't see any reason why they would, you know, absolutely need to use general fund dollars. But I mean, when you look at the two proposals right now, they're pretty far away. What it does signify to me is that there is someone on the D side who is kind of working on this. I mean, for so long, it's just seemed like nothing, you know, absolutely nothing. And everybody's kind of wondered about the political capital that goes into it. Do the Democrats have enough to expend there? Are the Republicans willing to kind of go the distance to a government shutdown? But now, you know, this shows that, yeah, there is at least one Democrat who is actively kind of working on something.
Do you think this governor would allow a shutdown? It seems to me like he wants to get out of here on time.
That's the, you know, $64,000 question right there. It's you have, and it might not even be up to him, really. You know, you've got Republicans over in the legislature who've basically said, hey, you know, we'll grind this thing to a halt unless you pass ESAs. And it really does sort of depend on if Sandoval is willing to kind of go that distance for it.
Go ahead.
And Republicans are very open in saying, hey, we're willing to, you know, drag this thing out into a special session into July if we need to.
And, you know, Carson City is lovely in July. Let's take a break. We'll be back with our top journalists right after this.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ray Hagas, Seth Richardson, and Ben Botkin. So one of the issues that has come up has been, you know, what time of day it is, you know, in terms of, you know, midnight and when deadlines are. I should throw this to you, Ray. Wasn't it Governor Gwynn who, during one session, pushed the time back an hour at sine die to 1 a.m. because it was daylight savings time?
Yes, he did. But I think they're going to try. They tried that later on, and it didn't go through. You know, the one thing I wanted to say about these education savings accounts, if the Republicans don't get this, what can they go home and tell their constituents that they did? That's it seems like without the ESAs, they can't point to accomplishments, but maybe you guys are on the ground level. Is there something else that they could brag up to get reelected if they don't get these ESAs?
I think politically speaking, both sides could possibly benefit from these things not passing. It sounds kind of weird, but you know, Democrats can go back to their district and say, you know, look, we're trying to bring, you know, education choice to this state, and those dirty Democrats, they won't let it happen. And Democrats can go back to their district and say, hey, you know, even if they get their stuff vetoed, they can go back and say, hey, you know what, we tried, they made it a single issue session, and that's not what we wanted to do. We passed our reforms, and those Republicans, those lousy Republicans, they wouldn't let us, you know, get these issues through. So I see it as possibly being politically advantageous to both sides, frankly.
Yeah, and once you take ESAs out of the equation, then perhaps you can have legislators pointing to the lower-hanging fruit as the fruits of their labor, things like criminal justice reforms, things like tougher penalties for people who hit bicyclists and seriously injure them, lithium mining legislation, things of that nature that maybe just don't get as much attention as UCESAs get.
What about death with dignity? Is this going to end up getting to the governor's desk?
I think it'll get to the governor's desk. I don't think the governor's going to sign that. He's already kind of come out against it and said he wouldn't support something like that. But what's important about that is it does show kind of a willingness on people to sort of discuss that. I mean, think about it. 10 years ago, people weren't even really talking about it, and just kind of shows where the needle has moved on that.
Ben?
Yeah, I don't see the governor signing that at all. I mean, I think, too, again, it's probably an issue that we'll see pop up in future sessions with future governors.
Let me ask you this as the last question for both of you. What's the thing that's most surprised you at this session?
The thing that's kind of most surprised me is sort of the lack of a big ticket item from the Democratic side. You know, they're in control, and they do have a lot of different sort of initiatives that are going on, but I haven't noticed a really huge kind of blockbuster issue that they can put on a banner sort of headline thing. That's kind of surprised me.
What about minimum wage?
Well, if the minimum wage goes through, then they might have that, but at this rate, it's with the ESA debate going the way it is. And when I say kind of a big blockbuster thing, I'm talking like a 2015 where there's this, you know, pumping hundreds of millions, billions of dollars into education. There's not that banner mark legislation.
Ben?
Yeah, I mean, there really haven't been any huge brawling political fights of the level that you saw back in 2015 with the tax increase. So that's certainly a surprise, just that it's an extremely extremely quiet session for the most part, especially compared to 2 years ago.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for all your help during the session. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
We'll be
thank
right
you.
Back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Victor Jakes is here, columnist with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Trey Abney is with the Reno Sparks Chamber. And Susan Fisher is with McDonald Carano. She is the Vice President of Government Affairs. Where are we with the energy bills? It seems to be all over the place at this point, with NV Energy still saying they're neutral.
Well, they're coming along, and I think that we are going to get an RPS bill over to the governor's office. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I think one is going to get there. The net metering bill, things are good there. But they've actually passed a number of them. The governor just signed an energy efficiency bill. There's another one that's still sitting in Ways and Means, a Senate bill, SB 150, that I'm hoping does get out. It's an energy efficiency bill, but it dovetails very nicely with the one that already went over. I think we've made some really good strides this session.
And where do you think we're going to end up in terms of percentage for the renewable portfolio?
Well, let me grab my crystal ball and I'll tell you. I think it's going to be in the 50 range. I think we'll get there. I know that we can get there. In actuality, we can get there. But whether or not we will get there, given the political environment, that's the question.
Victor, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's certainly a way to undercut the energy choice initiative that's coming. You know, it's like saying, well, you can have anything you want for breakfast as long as half of your meal is eggs. And I think it's a policy mistake. You know, if renewables are everything that the advocates claim that they are in terms of how cheap and reliable they are, you know, once we have energy choice, we won't need mandates for them to work. So let's put it to the people and let people choose. And if it's a superior product, they'll choose it.
I think there's room for both. I absolutely think there's room for both. And I think that a lot of the people voted for the Energy Choice Initiative with in mind that they would have more choices in clean energy because they don't have that option now.
Trey?
I mean, I don't follow these closely. I just want to make sure that consumers and businesses can afford the energy that is going to be produced. I mean, that's the main thing. Energy, you know, renewable sounds good, but if it's more expensive than what we're doing now, that can hurt a lot of low-income families. So we just want to make sure that we do it in a responsible way. And we're in such a nebulous world right now. I think that's why people are so nervous with this energy choice stuff, is we don't know what that's going to look like. And so to start putting mandates on there at the same time, I think makes people a little nervous, but we'll see.
There are states that have done both in tandem, that have done restructuring and mandates in tandem. There are about 7 states that have. And where it's worked well and where their prices have not gone up exponentially. And I do agree with Trey with regard to low-income folks, and that's one reason why, you know, some of the energy efficiency measures that are coming out, that's the low-hanging fruit, and that's where they can really save money. People with low income and low-income households pay an exorbitant amount more on their percentage of their income on energy than people in higher incomes, because it's the same energy cost.
Well, Trey, let me ask you. We recently interviewed Mark Amadei, Congressman Mark Amadei, and he said he was leaning heavily toward running for reelection and not running for governor, not running for attorney general. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, and of course, Congressman Amadei is a good friend of mine, and the chamber has endorsed him, I think, every race he's had. He's done a great job for Congressional District 2. And so it's honorable, really, that he's considering to do it, because it is an awful job. Having worked for a former congressman from CD2, being a congressman from the West is an awful job. Flying back and forth 2 times a week, 3 time zones different, you know, trying to keep up with all the issues, trying to make East Coast people understand what public land is and how much of our land is public and how difficult that can be. So it's a wonder that anybody wants to do that job. And the fact that he wants to continue to do that, I think he should be praised for.
Victor, one of the complaints that people have about Congress and Washington, D.C., is that people, especially in the House, are flying back to their home districts every weekend and not socializing, not getting along, or not really knowing each other. Do you think that, you know, it would be a good thing to see a change in that, to where somebody didn't have to fly back to their home state 52 times a year?
Well, I'm sure everyone would benefit from that. I don't know how you work it logistically. I mean, no matter where you put the capital, someone's going to be far away.
No, but I mean, but somebody would end up staying in D.C., you know, perhaps, you know, half the month, instead of flying back every week, that they would be there half the month and would have a chance to socialize and get to know people on a personal level. So the conflicts that we have in D.C. would not be so great. You can't have an enemy if you suddenly discovered you actually like the person.
Well, that certainly helps, but I mean, I think the larger problem is how much power is in Washington, D.C., and you see a country that's deeply divided in terms of where we should go, and we're facing challenges like the entitlement funding crisis that don't have easy answers, and I think those are the larger drivers of the conflict we see today.
Susan?
Well, nobody makes them fly back and forth every weekend, although they have to campaign all the time, You know, I think that Congressman Amadei does a terrific job for Nevada, for all of Nevada, not just CD2 back in D.C., and I would hate to see him leave that position to run for an office where, you know, there's so much uncertainty. He can have this seat as long as he wants it.
You know, the thing about, you mentioned about staying in Washington and maybe learning the city a little bit more, gaining relationships. But the problem with that is that congressmen are always running for reelection. They got a 2-year term, and as soon as they're, you know, Dean Heller, when he was a congressman, told me he does his work in the day as a congressman. As soon as the day's over, he's got to get on the phone and start looking for money for reelection.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We appreciate you being here. We'll be right back.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yeson405.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, political reporter Sean Whaley from the Las Vegas Review-Journal will see you then.